2 weeks ago, the youth group spent some time watching a TED Talk video called The Danger of the Single Story. It's by a woman named Chimamanda Adichie, a novelist from Nigeria. When Chimamanda was a child, she was an avid reader and writer. But since the stories she read came mostly from British writers, the stories she wrote as a child were all about children with blonde hair and blue eyes who ate apples and drank ginger ale and who hoped the sun would come out so they could play. That's what she thought books were really about. It took her some time to learn that those were just one kind of books and that there were others. She learned that she could write stories from her own perspective. And later, as an adult, when she did write novels rooted in her own complex experience, she faced criticism from American professors who thought her stories weren't authentically African. Where was the poverty, the violence, the desperation? They had one single story of Africa, and they expected her story to fit with it. Just as she had a single story as a child of what happened in storybooks. The danger of the single story is that we think we know what's going on with someone else. We see people as flat characters, as two-dimensional cardboard cutouts. The danger of the single story is that we think things are simple, when in fact, they are complex. If we think about the danger of the single story, we will soon realize that we live in a dangerous world, especially with social media these days, where people spend a long time telling their stories and curating their photo collections. But we don't include the hard stuff, do we? We tell stories about ourselves on social media, highlighting how wonderful our lives are, and how many mountains we have climbed, and what delicious meals we have eaten. And we leave out the parts where we are lonely and tired, or stuck in traffic, or fighting with our families, or struggling to pay the bills. And then our friends go online, and they see our simple single stories on social media, and then they feel discouraged or maybe lonely because their lives are not like the stories they see. We live in a complicated world, and we need to be careful of the danger of the single story. We especially tell single stories about people who are different from us. Those jocks, those nerds, those old people, those kids. We tell single stories about whole groups of people, those techies, those hipsters. And yes, race, gender, sexuality, class, politics, money, all the hot button issues come in here. We tell single stories about people who are different from us, and then we leave out the good parts. We live in a complicated world, and we need to beware of the danger of the single story. The story that Sari just read, the story of the Good Samaritan, is a good story and a well-known story, but at the same time, it is a simple story. And so, sometimes we see it flattened like cardboard cutout characters. If you ask a random person on the street what the word Samaritan means, they'll probably say that a Samaritan is an ordinary hero, the kind of good person who stops and helps someone in need on the side of the road. If this is the single story, the only story you've ever heard about Samaritans, then yes, that's exactly what you think they are. And this single story will teach you a certain lesson, and it's a good lesson. It will teach you to emulate that good Samaritan, to do what he did, to stop and help people. This is a good lesson to learn, and I hope and pray that we here at our church are teaching and practicing all the skills we need to be more like that good Samaritan. But that's only one side of the story. Back in those days, Samaritans were often the subject of a single story, but it definitely wasn't the kind of story where they were the heroes. And back then, the phrase "Good Samaritan" might actually have been seen as a contradiction in terms. The word Samaritan literally means a person from Samaria, a part of Israel near Judea, whose people were ethnically and culturally similar to Jews in most ways, but different in just a few key religious ways. And Jews had a single story about Samaritans. They are the people who went astray. They are the ones who took our religion and distorted it. They worship in the wrong places. They believe the wrong things. They even dress in the wrong way. Samaritans are bad. They are not our people. But in the search for more stories, let's try to think about it from other people's point of view. Let's try to think about this story from the Samaritan's point of view. He has no ties. He is not bound ethnically or religiously or culturally to the presumably Jewish man lying on the side of the road. But though he has no ties, he has the pull of compassion. I want to say the pull of human compassion, but in fact, it's more than that. This is divine compassion. It says that he was moved with compassion, a fun Greek word that could literally be translated, his gut was wrenched. A word that is usually used of God or of Jesus. This is not some everyday sentimentality, but a whole-bodied compassion. And then he took care of the man generously and responsibly, thinking not of what it would cost him, but thinking only of saving this man's life. He probably wouldn't have expected gratitude or maybe even decency in return, given their cultural differences, so he truly gave with no strings attached. Let's think about the story from the victim's point of view. He had his reasons to make this risky journey along a dangerous and rocky road, but we don't know what those reasons were. We actually don't know much about him at all, other than that he was wearing nice clothes, nice enough to be a target for robbers, but it's not right to ask what the victim was wearing as if that made it his fault. Anyway, once his clothes were stolen, he lay there semi-conscious and watched people pass him by. I wonder if he was conscious enough to recognize the priest and the Levite from their professional garments. Let's assume for the sake of imagination that he was conscious. How would it feel to see the symbols of your religion pass you by, uncaring? Would he have understood that they were in a hurry to get to Jerusalem and they couldn't risk being ritually unclean by touching him in all his blood and gore when they arrived? Would he have hoped that their religiousness would spur them to compassion, or would he have lain there feeling cynical? Religion isn't always a marker of helpfulness, any more than being rich is a marker of generosity. Would he have been disappointed when they passed him by, or would he have been resigned, knowing that he could be anybody to them, that he had no status in their eyes? And then, as he lay there, how would it feel to see a stranger approaching to help you, not just a stranger, but someone you really had a reason to distrust? The injured man could probably have seen that a stranger coming near to him was dressed differently, that he was a Samaritan. And remember, the single story he would have heard about Samaritans, it would have been that they are just not our people. What did it take for this wounded man to accept help from a Samaritan? If we see the story this way, we realize that it might not be a morality tale about how you should help strangers in their hour of need, but it might be a story about crossing those lines of separation that divide us from one another. So in search of more than just one single story, here are some alternative headlines for a modern-day retelling of the Good Samaritan story. A Democrat is robbed, and a good Tea Party Republican saves his life. An ICE agent is robbed, and a good illegal immigrant saves his life. A Jewish woman is robbed. A good neo-Nazi saves her life. An anti-LGBTQ activist is robbed, and a good transgender woman comes to her aid. Whew! These headlines bring up a lot of feelings, don't they? And I think that this story was meant to hit you in the feelings, right there, in the mix of righteousness and anger and fear, where we are most divided from one another. We don't want to see the goodness in our enemies. We don't want to reach over the divide. We want the villains to stay evil and the victims to stay innocent, don't we? Friends, listen. We are all so stuck in our own little stories. We can't break free. We're victims or we're villains. We're innocent or we're guilty. We're losers, we're winners, and we need to break free from these stories. We desperately need the freedom that comes from seeing other people with depth and complexity, seeing them as real, deep human beings. We desperately need to see one another, to forgive one another, to help one another, and to let our guts be wrenched by compassion for one another. So I want to ask you today to try playing the Jesus Easter egg hunt with the kids. Look around you and try to see Jesus in the faces of those you encounter. Try to see him in the victim, and try to see him in the Samaritan. The good news is that the risen Christ is now free from space and time, and so he is hiding in unexpected places. And that's good news, because we really need to shake things up. We need to be free from these walls of our single stories. So try seeing another side of the story. Try standing on your head just to see if the perspective changes. Try whatever you can. Ask somebody. Imagine something. Try anything you can just to break through the single stories and see other people for who they are, beloved children of God. The good news is that even the smallest bit of trying to shake things up and see things from other perspectives makes room for God's grace to rush in. God's grace is like a torrent. We can build these walls that divide us from one another with our single stories, but the slightest chink or shift in that wall and all the other stories, all of God's stories full of love and grace and truth, will come rushing through. May it be so.